May the Lord be pleased to bless us together this morning as we consider his word. Let us turn to the prophecy of Haggai, chapter 1, and we'll read verse 13. The prophecy of Haggai, chapter 1, and reading verse 13. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message, unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. For the benefit perhaps of the young people, to just make you aware of the situation which existed in these days when Haggai prophesied. In fact, Haggai and Zechariah prophesied at the same time that Ezra and Nehemiah lived and wrote their accounts. And it is interesting, therefore, that these books are not placed, perhaps, alongside Ezra and Nehemiah. But you may be familiar with the fact that Israel had continually disobeyed the word of the Lord. And because of that, the Lord had spoke to them through the prophets that there would be a time when they would be taken and would be sent down into captivity into Babylon, and they would be 70 years there. And we would think, I'm sure, that if we had a prophet of the Lord speaking to us in our day and age, and he came and thus saith the Lord, we would not ignore such prophecy. But generally, Israel ignored that prophecy which was spoken to them. And the result was that the Lord, of course, always is faithful, always carries out those things that he has spoken of. And they were taken captive and they were carried away down into Babylon. And what was worse was that Jerusalem was broken up and burnt with fire, and the walls broken down, and the temple destroyed, and everything in the temple taken away into Babylon. Although we're not sure what happened, of course, with the ark, but we know lots of the implements were taken away into Babylon. Now, they lived there for those years, and then the Lord graciously, and we should always remember, the Lord graciously caused them to be able to return. He changed, or he gave the kings in Babylon that right spirit to encourage Israel to return, or Judah more particularly, to return once again to Jerusalem. And there were those people who were raised up, Ezra and Nehemiah, who were to lead and direct the people in those days. They came back. They commenced the rebuilding work. And then there were those enemies there who were very unhappy of the possibility of the Jews returning to Jerusalem. And therefore they wrote a letter to the king of Babylon saying, you ought to be aware that this people are a rebellious people. And if you let them continue and rebuild this situation, you will have problems. Look in the records. Have a look in the records and find out whether it's true. But of course it was true. And the king of Babylon found it was true. So he issued a decree that the work should stop. And sadly, therefore, the work in Jerusalem stopped for a good number of years. And it was really then the Lord raised up Haggai and Zechariah to cause the people to recognize the situation which existed and to encourage them to return to this great work. Well, we're thankful that the word that the Lord spoke to them did encourage them, and they did return, they did rebuild the temple, and they did rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and it was finished. And it was finished with the blessing of the Lord, the blessing of the king, King Darius, one of those kings who encouraged them in this work. And as we read here in this chapter, it was in the early time of King Darius that Haggai was given this prophecy. Well, that's a very broad background to the situation which existed. And Haggai, of course, he speaks to the people and he directs them to recognize their current position, what they were doing. And having then gone through the situation, he is then encouraged to come to them with these words, "I am with you, saith the Lord." Now, we should not forget, therefore, that really they had been criticized. This people had been criticized because they were taking it easy. They were enjoying their own lifestyle. They were living in their houses. And the Lord had told them to consider their ways. Consider your ways. And it's good, you know, for all of us in our life to consider our ways. It's very easy for every one of us to continue in a situation and assume that it's all right. Well, the prophet here was told to first of all tell them that they dwell in their own houses and they weren't concerned about the house of God. And then he also told them they'd sown much and hadn't got very much, and that they were clothed but they weren't very warm, and they were earning wages but they put them into a bag with holes. So the situation wasn't very rosy. And the admonition then was, consider your ways. We should not therefore think that this is a word which is irrelevant to each one of us. I'm sure in our lives we all need to be able to come from time to time to consider our ways. And the Lord graciously instructed them. He told them to go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house. And he said, "I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified, saith the Lord." Now, how important it is that in our lives our concern should be that the Lord God is glorified. "And I will be glorified, saith the Lord." What does that mean? It means that if we are following the direction and the instruction of the Lord, then we can be sure that he will be honoured and he will be glorified. And he tells us, "Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little." Well, that may be so, mightn't it? We may have looked for much, and it's come to little. "And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it." Why? Saith the Lord of hosts. It's good to have a question put to us, and it's good to have the answer given to us. The Lord gives us the answer, "Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house." The significant point is this: they were more concerned about themselves than they were about the blessing of the Lord. And that was the real concern and the real problem. And he says, "Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit." What does it mean? It means it was a condition of barrenness. There wasn't fruitfulness. We should be thankful that we have accounts like this in the Word of God to encourage us in our day. Because we do come into those situations where there doesn't seem to be much dew, and we do seem to be barren, and doesn't seem to be any fruit really. Again, it's good if the Spirit of God comes to us in this way, because it really was in a loving way the Lord came to his people and just pointed out the situation, reminded them of what existed and what was occurring. You looked for much, though it came to little. When you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Again, coming back to that great important thought, whether we are more concerned about the honour and glory of our God than we are about our own situation. And so the prophet goes on, therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. I call for a drought. And how comprehensive we see this consideration. I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, upon the corn, the new wine, the oil, the ground that bringeth forth, upon men, upon cattle, and upon all the labour of the hands. I suppose we could summarise it very simply by saying, if we walk contrary to God, he walks contrary to us. If we are not fulfilling the will of God, he will not grant us the favour and the blessing. And so we then read these words, then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet. What a glorious statement, isn't it, to read. All the people, they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. Their hearts have been touched. They've been moved by the Holy Spirit of God. They have been made willing in the day of his power. And here they were then, in this situation, obeying the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. We're told the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's a great blessing to be favoured with that, to fear the Lord. And not just to fear the Lord in a judgmental way, which we may feel we deserve. We look at our lives and we cannot claim they're perfect by any means. We may perhaps tremble to think the Lord will bring his judgments upon us. And that may be, rightly so, the fear of the Lord. But then also, we can think of that fear of the Lord, that we're offending such a kind and gracious God, who has been so merciful. A God who has been so kind. A God who has brought to our attention the actual situation which exists in our lives. How wonderful it is to have a God like this, and to be reminded of the truth of these words. The words, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message, unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Now there cannot surely be a more comforting and blessed word than to feel that, notwithstanding the situation which exists in the lives of Israel at this time, notwithstanding the situation which exists in our situation, in our lives today, to hear a word like that, I am with you, saith the Lord. Now that should be a very humbling and a very blessed consideration, to think the Lord should deign to speak such words to such unworthy people, to encourage us to believe the Lord is kind and gracious, and to believe these words, I am with you, saith the Lord. Now the effect was, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, to have our spirits stirred up by the word of the Lord. See, these words, they didn't fall onto stony ground. They fell onto that good ground. The Lord had prepared the hearts of the people to receive his word. And it had a good and a gracious and blessed effect. Because we read, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. There was a fulfillment of the Lord's word to them. They had taken to heart the kind and gracious rebuke that the Lord had brought to them through Haggai. And sometimes we should be thankful the Lord comes to us and rebukes us perhaps. We may have been settled down. We may have been very casual. We may have not been concerned about the honour and glory of God. We may not have really been concerned about our spiritual standing and our spiritual state and the fruitfulness in our lives. And therefore then to hear such a word from our God speaking like this and saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. I believe if our hearts been prepared to receive his word, it would mean this. Our hearts are tender. Our conscience is tender to receive the word of God. We don't reject it. They didn't reject it. They were words which on the surface may have appeared very harsh to them. But they knew it was true. They didn't reject it. They received it in the love of it. And they were encouraged then by these words, I am with you, saith the Lord. And in the next chapter, the prophet goes on to encourage them again. And he asks the question, who was there that had seen that house in its first glory? And how was it now? It appeared as nothing. We might think of that in a spiritual sense. We might think of it in a spiritual sense in our own hearts, perhaps. Perhaps there have been those times of great blessing. And my friends, don't think a little blessing is anything less than a great blessing. A little blessing is a great blessing. Don't underestimate the favour of God. And how do you see it now? Well, it appeared perhaps as nothing. And so the Lord then comes and instructs them and says, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. There is really a repetition, and it's important to realise that here, the prophet brings this encouraging extension, as it were, to be strong. It means that there will be opposition. There will be opposition. The devil will never give up. Don't think the devil will ever give up. He will always try and oppose the work of the Lord. He will always try and shut our eyes from beholding the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, how good it is to have a word like this, be strong. Yes, not only Zerubbabel, not only the high priest, but all the people of the lands of the Lord, and work, do that which God has instructed us in. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. And then the next verse, again encouraging, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt. the Lord promised Israel that they would inherit the land of Canaan. They would find it a place of a blessing, a place of favour, flowing with milk and honey, and that he would be with his people, and that he would continue to be with his people, and that they are reminded, they are brought back to the promise, the covenant of God. And sometimes that's what we need in our lives, to be brought back according to the word of the Lord that I covenanted with you. Well, I wonder if we have a promise, if you have a promise, if I have a promise from the Lord, and we were resting on it, we were hoping about it, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt. You may think of that in a spiritual sense, coming out of Egypt. Yes, that place of bondage, that place where we could not escape ourselves, that place where the devil had us in his clutches. We weren't able to free ourselves. The Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. They could not be held there. My friends, when God brings you and me out of spiritual Egypt, you can't be held there. Yes, there's a way of escape. It's a way of deliverance. Well, I hope perhaps you can look back in your life to a time when the Lord came to you in Egypt. They were bound up, no hope. The Lord made a way of escape. And when the Lord makes the way, the way is open. They went out with a high hand, took everything with them. They could not forget such a deliverance. And I believe when the Lord comes and moves our spirit, perhaps a particular moment, particular day, perhaps a time in our life when there was a change, and we look back and we realize the Lord was with us. The Lord brought us out. The Lord opened our eyes, our spiritual eyes. And then he tells them this great truth. So, my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. Now they needed a word of encouragement. And here it was, you see. So, because the Lord had been with them, what is he saying? He's saying, I will not forsake you. And not only is he saying that, he's saying it very positively in this way. He says, and so, my spirit remaineth among you. What a blessing that is, isn't it? To know that God's Spirit is still with us. Perhaps the scene seems dark. It would have done. It would have done in Babylon. It would have done when those who returned to Jerusalem and the enemy had brought that decree so they had to stop building. It would have appeared the Lord had turned against them. My friends, that was the devil had endeavoured to prove to them. But the Lord's time came when he would once again send his prophets to encourage them and to speak to them and bless them with a word like this. So, my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. There's no need to fear, is there? If the Spirit of God remains with us, in us. Now my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. And so as you may be fearful, the Lord has left us, the Lord has forsaken us. Perhaps that was the very situation which existed here. But how faithful was the Lord, how kind and gracious was the Lord in this matter. And I believe, and thankful to believe, that we worship the same almighty great God today. And as he looked upon all the people then, so he looks upon all his people now. And it's true of every one. My spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. Well, it's a good thing then to know that the Lord is with us. I am with you, saith the Lord. I am with you. See, if God is with us, as the apostle says, if God be for us, who can be against us? We should not be discouraged. We should be encouraged to know that the Lord is with us. David, when he spoke, when he wrote the 46th Psalm, well, he's not actually told it's David, but it probably is that well-known psalm which starts off, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. We go down a little bit and we read, God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The devil does rage. Be sure of that. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Oh, the psalmist realized the blessing of this. The Lord of hosts is with us. And then the last couple of verses in this 46th Psalm. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. A repetition of that encouragement. And when will we need God to be a refuge? It'll be when we are involved in the storms of life. It's when we're being shaken about by the devil. When there's every evidence the devil can bring to into our hearts and minds to demonstrate that we don't possess the life of God in our soul. God is our refuge and strength. And so the Lord of hosts is with us. So he is. Don't forget what the prophet Isaiah said also. Again, a well-known verse, 41st chapter in Isaiah, and the 10th verse. Fear ye not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, Israel in these days of Haggai, they would have needed the continual evidence that the Lord was with them. Yes, when they had to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, when they had to rebuild the temple, it was not an easy situation. They were afraid of the enemy. You may remember how they rebuilt the wall. They rebuilt it with those who had the sword in their hands. The sword and the trowel they had to keep. The sword there, the sword of the Spirit. They were to work, they were to continue to hold the sword there because of the enemy. My friends, let us remember that today. We need the word of God, the sword of the Spirit with us to defend us against our great enemy of souls, the devil. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The Lord does not forsake his people. That's why we have a statement like this. I am with you, saith the Lord. Sometimes we may be surprised to think the Lord should speak a word like that. We dare hardly hope that our Lord would give us a word like that. Such an encouragement, such a comfort. Yes, to realise what it is, I am with you, saith the Lord. And Isaiah also in the 43rd rather of that same prophecy says, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. And what is he pointing out here? He's pointing out the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour. Yes, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. But think of that today. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is with us. He's with us, he's going before us. He's directing us. He's leading us into all truth. He's speaking to our hearts. He's touching our hearts because of his love toward us. He loved his people. He always has loved his people. He loved ancient Israel. And that's why, although they were in this situation, he comes and tells them, I am with you, saith the Lord. Yes, I am with you. Are you doubting it? Are you fearful? Be encouraged, I am with you. And here we have, I am the Lord thy God. That Lord who is with them, the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ will not leave his people. He cannot leave his people. Why can he not leave them? Because he's redeemed them. Because he's paid the price to give them the great gift of salvation. Indeed, as the children in Sunday school remember their text this morning, salvation is of the Lord. That's where it comes from, the Lord, their salvation. And to realize that it is this Lord, thy Saviour, the one who has purchased them with his blood. They are his people. He will not leave them. He will not forsake them. He never has done. He never will. Be encouraged this morning to believe that this same God who we read of here, I am with you, saith the Lord, he is the Saviour of sinners, and the one who has purchased their salvation at that great cost, his life. It was a great value, wasn't it? Your salvation, your soul, was so valuable for the Lord Jesus Christ that he willingly gave his life so that you might receive life. Is he then going to forget you? Is he then going to cast you out? No. Whom once he loved, loves, he always loves. And he will be with us to the end of our journey. I am with you, saith the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful blessing it is to have a God who speaks like this and directs us to himself. It is because of what he's done for us. It's because of his great love. That love from eternity, a mystery beyond our comprehension. To think the Lord Jesus ever loved us, ever set his love upon us. We look at our own heart, our own nature. We perhaps say, well, can ever God dwell here in such a heart as mine? I am with you, saith the Lord. And it is a wonderful blessing to think of that great salvation. And if the Lord Jesus Christ has indeed given his life, it is a great salvation. It is because we were precious in his sight. We were valuable. Perhaps look at ourselves and think, how can I have been precious? How can I have been valuable? Well, it was not because of any good thing in you. Not because of any good thing in me. But because he set his love upon us. He set his love upon us. We were chosen. We were elected. Wonderful favour, isn't it? To think the Lord should come and choose such a people. And then to not only choose them, but then to do all that was necessary to deliver their soul from the wrath to come. And that which was necessary was to give his life, to die, to suffer, to bleed and die, to suffer so greatly so that you and I might be set free, that we might receive the forgiveness of all our sins. We might be amongst those to whom it is said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, the blessing is that these people then, they were moved by the Spirit, and they walked after that movement, and they then did work in the house of the Lord God, the Lord of hosts, their God. It is a blessing, isn't it? And we can claim this God to be our God. Personally, you and me as unworthy sinners, and come and claim this God as our God. And so this word, there must be a word of blessing, surely. I am with you, saith the Lord. And if the Lord is with us, you know he will never forsake us. No, he will never forsake us. But he will be with us at all times through every situation that we come into. He will never leave us. Jeremiah, in his prophecy, remember Jeremiah being one of those prophets who prophesied against Israel. And he speaks in his prophecy. And he says this, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. This is in the 30th chapter, 11th verse. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. We need, do we not, sometimes correction. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. We don't like correction, do we? We don't like to be chastened. Who the Lord loveth, he correcteth. And we hear here these words, I will not make a full end of thee. No, but he will correct us in measure. Only in measure. He doesn't deal with us as our sins deserve. Correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Well, that's in the 30th chapter. We read a very similar statement in the 46th chapter, where again the prophet speaks, and he speaks in this way. But fear not thou, the end of this chapter, fear not thou, O my servant Jacob, and be not dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save thee from afar off, and thy seed from the land of the captivity. And Jacob shall return, and be at rest, and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. Fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, saith the Lord, for I am with thee. For I will make a full end of all the nations whither I have driven thee. But I will not make a full end of thee, but correct thee in measure, yet will I not leave thee wholly unpunished. I believe the Lord brings us through this way to bring those things into our lives so that we remember. Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord has led us. Led us to see ourselves. Led us to see our foolishness, our ignorance, and led us to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt remember. Oh, it's a good thing if God is kind and gracious to us in these things. And may we be encouraged this morning as we consider God's ancient people and consider their position and their situation and His love and His grace and His mercy toward them in this way, so that He speaks like this and says, I am with you, saith the Lord. And may we therefore believe in our little life. The Lord speaks to us in the same way, that we may be encouraged and strengthened this morning, and to be able, therefore, to hold on our way. Amen.